from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a lot of talk these days about alternative energy sources, ways to produce energy that are clean and good for the environment, so that we can power the many energy needs we have as a big country with lots of fun stuff. If you go west on I-70, go out to west of Salina, you'll see a big wind farm out there, huge. And you can see it from about 40 miles away, these huge wind turbines harvesting the power of the wind. Today, Jesus is inviting us to harvest a whole different kind of power, the power of his Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises to energize us. He promises to give us a power that will, actually, he says it will enlighten our hearts. He says you will receive power, and if we say yes to that power, we will find that God's grace will never let us down. You know, when you start talking about power sources, one of the first things you learn is that you have to be careful with powerful things, because just as well as they can be good for you, they can also hurt you. The word in the scriptures that Jesus uses when he says, "I will send you power," the word is dunamis. And dunamis is an energy, is a power that makes things happen. It makes things go. It gives, well, energy. But also, that same word, if it's not, it can also blow things up. That's where the word dynamic comes from. The word dynamite comes from this same Greek word. So, of course, electric power is a great thing so long as it's doing what it's supposed to. But if you touch it, or if you put your hand in a socket, you get electrocuted. Well, then it obviously has the power to harm us. And the power of the wind, it's a natural power that when we're harvesting it in a wind farm, that's a great thing. But also, we all know here in Kansas that same power of the wind can turn into a tornado and destroy a home as well and take lives. So power is, we have to be careful. Speaking of sources of power, last week I had a seminar with my brother priests on our Good Leaders and Good Shepherd program. We're just about done. This is the fifth of six modules. But we had Tuesday night free, so we went over to the Legends and we saw Iron Man 2. Which, you know, now I never read Marvel Comics growing up as a kid. I never read it. And by the way, Iron Man is a fictional character. There was a gentleman last night was very upset to find out that Iron Man is fictional, but he is. And I don't have to give away the movie, but this movie, which I liked Iron Man 1 and I liked Iron Man 2. But the movie's all about power source. Iron Man has his power source that he has actually right here in his chest, something he invented. But it's poisoning him. And so he needs to determine a new power source, a new way to be strong so that he can do the things that he wants to do. And I thought of that image when I thought about how we interact with things that are powerful in our lives, because many things are beautiful and powerful, but if we don't use them correctly, they will harm us. The beautiful power of human sexuality, it can be abused by gorging on images or internet sites, or wonderful luxuries such as alcohol and caffeine, tobacco. They are a blessing, but they can also kill us if not used correctly, if not treated with respect. Even the authority that we all have in our homes or in our workplaces, that authority, that power, it is a beautiful gift. We can use that power to build up. We can also use that power to destroy. So powerful things are supposed to help us, but they can also hurt us, so we have to exercise our power carefully. And that's the role of the Savior, to guide us, to help us to manage those things in our lives that are powerful. And He gives us divine power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God that is given to us. And God's power will only do good for us. It never does anything else. When we welcome the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives, amazing things will happen. I would just go out on a limb and say we can never get too much of this kind of power. So how do we get this dynamis that Jesus is talking about? Well, basically the gift is given to us. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we believe as Roman Catholics that it's a supernatural gift. It's outside of our normal human existence, but it becomes a part of our human existence when we're incorporated into Christ. And this supernatural gift is given to us so that we can do what seems impossible, what seems supernatural. And this power that we received in our baptism first, we also believe it is refreshed every time we participate in a sacrament. Every time we receive the Eucharist, every time we celebrate reconciliation, when we marry in the church, when we receive the anointing of the sick. Of course, whenever we do a sacrament, we believe we are being re-energized through the grace that God gives us. Now, St. Paul, he describes this life of living in grace, this life of being empowered by God. He describes it. He's trying to tell the Ephesians what it's like. Now, that our lector proclaimed a scripture that was like St. Paul writes in really long sentences. And in this sense, it was about a paragraph long. But he's trying to, he just cannot come up with enough adjectives to describe what it's like to live in the power of Christ. And he simply cannot come up with words. So here's what he told us today. He said, what God wants to do for us is he wants us to have this power so that our hearts will be enlightened. We'll be able to see. We'll understand who we are. And he says, when you do that, three things will happen. He says, first of all, you'll recognize we have hope. He says, then we'll know how rich we are. And finally, we'll know how great it is to live in God. This is the kind of energy that the Holy Spirit wants to give us for our everyday lives. So what does Paul mean when he says we have hope? Well, basically, Roman Catholics, we are, my friends, people of hope. We don't know the final answer to all of life's questions. But what we know with certainty is we know that God will guide us today. That God is with us today, and we hope that God will give us everything that we need for this day. And that is His promise. He promises to give us whatever we need today. He doesn't promise to give us more than that, but He will give us all blessings for this day. That's why the psalmist says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, firstly, we have hope. That's the first gift God gives us. Then when we live in hope, then we're able to recognize, God's given me everything I need for today. Let me just look around and see what God has given me. So we look around and we begin to see, we begin to be enlightened, and we begin to recognize how gifted we are, how rich we are. I'm not talking about bank accounts. I'm talking about the blessings that God has surrounded us with. And you know, sometimes this is hard to see, and we might have to look two and three times. Oftentimes, we don't even see our blessings until something happens, till someone we know falls ill, or till there's a tragedy, or till there's some event in our homes that really is a wake-up call for us. But whatever it takes, the goal is that we recognize how rich we are, the gift that our home is, that we woke up in this morning, the gift of our health, or the gift of our health insurance, the gift of our job, if we have some employment. If we don't have employment, the gift of our skills that we are trying to market to get a job. We have the gift of breath today. We have all gotten up. I assume we've had something to eat today. We have clothing to wear. We had the freedom to go wherever we wanted to this morning. We came here. And then we came to what? This community of faith where we feel welcomed, I hope. And here we have access to the tradition of the church, singing hymns that are, some of them 10 centuries, 12, 14 centuries old, but also the gift of the life of Christ. We get to access Christ in this gift of Eucharist. See, this is what Paul is talking about, the riches of his glory alive in us who believe. So once we recognize there is something to be hopeful about, this is the gift God has given us today. And then finally, then we can do great things. He calls that the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. And I think to really understand Paul's greatness, you have to remember, Paul didn't look for greatness in great big things. He looked for greatness in hard things, in little things, in difficult things. And I think that's where we experience God's greatness. That's where I see it in you all. I see God's greatness in you all as you heroically, from day to day, do those things that are necessary to maintain your families, moms and dads, feeding their kids, juggling responsibilities to care for the many things that have been placed upon your plate. That's where I think God's greatness is revealed. God's greatness revealed in young people who respect one another, who work to get along with brothers and sisters, even though it doesn't seem easy, even though you just soon fight them. But I think it's something great when you work to get along. Adult children who are caring for their parents, as perhaps their parents are more and more difficult to care for. I think that's heroic. It's great when we do that. Yes, it is what we're supposed to do, but to actually do it day to day, that's when we become great, my friends. That's what the surpassing greatness of God's power is in our day-to-day sacrifices, when we do that because we believe in Jesus' promise. See, if we welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives, we'll know how rich we are. We'll have hope for this day, and then Jesus will do great things in us. My prayer is that our time together today somehow will energize us. I hope Sunday Mass gives us a little power, more power than we had when we left, but the real release of that power occurs when we leave this celebration. Because then God's faith, our faith in God, is active through us as we go out to the world. And this energy is a lot more than what you'll get from a donut at Donut Day. It's Donut Day. And it's a lot more than you'll get from even a tank of gas or even the latest gadget that uses energy wisely. This is a different kind of energy. This keeps us going. This gets us out of bed in the morning. This helps us get through the day. This helps us do the right thing at the difficult moment. That's what God wants to do for us. God wants to enlighten our hearts so then we can be joyous. We can be happy as we serve Him in the richness of our faith. Friends, together let's profess the faith we hold as followers of Jesus Christ. We believe in one God.